Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Pei Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 7 lines from the top of Daf Pei Dalid. We continue with the topic of a woman who had said koinem, a vow whereby she said shani nene labrios. A vow whereby the woman said she is not going to benefit, she forswears benefiting from mankind. The Mishnah indicated that she is able, she's entitled to the leket shikha upeya tithes. These are tithes that are left in one's field for the poor. The topic heading that you see on the side of the Gemara, the Nosei, combined with the Mivneh structural note, in which we feature a diamond marking. You'll see as we go along in the Gemara a diamond right here, 3 lines from the bottom, and on Omid Beis, in the middle of the Omid, Rava appears in a diamond. These are two gishot, two approaches, liyashev ha-mishneh, to resolve our Mishnah, the low Katoni, resolve or reconcile our Mishnah. The lo katoni shiachulenos meiser oni. Our Mishnah does not indicate that she is allowed to benefit from the meiser oni tithe. That's an additional tithe. In addition to leket shikopeo, a person sets aside 10% of his harvest for the poor during the 3rd and 6th year of the 7-year sabbatical cycle. So our Mishnah does not indicate that she is entitled to benefit from the Maiser Oni. Im Braisa Shekotoni Dumuteris B'Maiser Oni. Whereas you have another Tanaic source, a Braisa, that says that this woman who said Konam Shaninene Labrios is entitled to benefit from the Maiser Oni tithe as well. Just to review the point that we mentioned in our previous year, the Leket Shukopea are Hefker. They're considered unowned. Therefore, she is entitled to benefit from them. She had forsworn benefiting from mankind, from things owned by people. But these are unowned. They're not part of possessions of mankind. Therefore, she is entitled to them. So we have to now understand why in our Mishnah do we get the impression that she's not allowed to take Maiser Oni, the tithe that is given to the poor, and in the Braisa says she is entitled to that. And again, we're talking about a woman who had forsworn benefiting from people, from that which is owned by people. Now, the Gemara. V'lo kotoni uba meiser oni. Our Mishnah does not say that she's entitled to benefit from meiser oni. V'hatanya bebraisa uba meiser oni. But we have another Tanaic source which says that this woman who had forsworn benefiting from mankind is entitled to benefit from meiser oni. Omar Rav Yosef. Take note of the fact that this presentation of Rav Yosef, we have a long marking giving you a sense of the length of his point. So Rav Yosef says, lo kashya, there is no contradiction, no difficulty per se, ha Rebbe Lezer, ha Rabbanon. We have two different schools of Tanaic thought. One Rebbe Lezer, the other Rabbanon, and when we see their opinions, we'll then appreciate the difference between the two sources. Disnan, Rebbe Lezer Omer, ein adam tzorech likros shem al meiser oni shel demai. Rebbe Lezer deals with a case of a person who acquired produce from an amoritz. An amoritz is a person that is not diligent with all of the necessary tithing. It's true, he will separate the truma tithe that's given to kehanim, but the other tithes he is not so diligent with. Rashi gives a great deal of background to this. And we can look at the Rashi together. You see, he says, Reb Elazar Omer Rashi toward the end of the Rashi commentary, Alokeach Perus Me'amaretz Bishon HaShlishis, a person who purchases produce from an ignoramus, and Amaretz is an ignoramus, on the third year of the seven-year sabbatical cycle, Ubo Lo LaHafrish Meiser Oni, and he thinks to separate the Meisroni tithe, Eino Tzorech Likros Lov Shem Meisroni. He does not have to even declare verbally that a portion of the produce acquired is labeled, is dedicated as Meisroni. Dela Meiser Rishon Lekele Mechash. As far as the tithing of Meiser Rishon, the person who bought from the Amoraim doesn't have to concern himself with the Meiser Rishon tithe, which is given to the Levim. The Leisei Levi Raya, the Loyave Amoraim, the Leisei Levi. And with regard to the Meiser Rishon, which is a tithe given to Levim, we say, if there's any doubt about it, let a Levi come, bring proof that the Am Haaretz had not tithed it, and I will give it to the Levi. Ulutruma lekol meichash, regarding the truma tithe of produce purchased from the Am Haaretz. Also, you don't have to concern yourself with that. The lo nechshidu Am Haaretz al truma, this ba avoin misa. They, the Amoraim and the ignoramuses, are not suspect of not having tithed the truma, because it carries with it a serious offense, the offense of Misa, of death at the hands of heaven, for someone who eats produce without having tithed the Truma. Umaiser Sheni Leko, Bishon Ashlishis, and the third year there isn't the Maiser Sheni tithe anyway. Avo Betruma, Betrumas Maiser, Mechayev. Regarding the Trumas Maiser, that you have to deal with it. Trumas Maiser is a tenth of that which a Levi is given. A Levi, upon receiving his Maiser Rishon tithe, he takes off 10% of that and gives it to a Kohen. Now, you, who purchased the produce from the Amoraim, have to concern yourself with the latent Trumas Maiser that's in this bundle of fruit that you bought. The Lo Lomagnu Bovli Misa Elo Mea Keisha, the Truma Gedola, the fact that there is a death penalty at the hands of heaven for one who consumes, who is a non-Kohen who consumes Trumas Meiser, this is not something that's explicit in the verses. It's learned from a comparison to Truma Gedola, to the basic Truma tithe. Since death is not written out exclusively, the ignoramus is not someone who pays attention to the oral tradition with too much diligence. And he will not have tithed the Trumas Meiser. The Al Meiser Oni ain't Sorch Likrosolov Afilu Shame Meiser. Regarding Meiser Oni, Rabbi Eliezer, in our Tanaic sources, of the opinion that you don't have to even Korei Shem. Korei Shem is a verbal declaration that a section of the produce is that particular tithe. So Rebbe Lezer is very lenient with regard to the Meiser Oni, purchased from an Amoraim. That's the word demai that you see at the end of the Omid, is a reference to produce purchased from an Amoraim. We continue at the top of Daf Pei Dalet Omid Beis. V'chachomim Omrim Korei Shem V'ein Tzorech LaHafrish. The Chumim have a higher expectation, and they say that you do have to declare a portion of the produce you bought from the Amoraim as Meiser Oni, but you don't have to physically separate it. You don't have to physically give it to the poor man. Once again, we say that if there's any doubt about the original owner, the Amoraim, of having tithed this, so let someone bring proof that the Amoraim did not give it, and then I will give it. My love. So here the Gemara wants this specifically. This is Rav Yosef's answer. So he comes to explain the basis of this controversy. Leman domar sveiko toveil. According to the Chachamim, who say the sveiko, this is a situation of doubt. That's what we're dealing with here when you're dealing with the Amoraim. He holds kosover isle tovas hana, that the original owner of the produce has a holding on the tithes. Of course, he can't keep the tithes for himself, but he has a there's value in the tithes to him. What do we mean by that? Tovas Hanoh is a situation where someone could come to you and say, you know, I have a friend that's impoverished, and I would very much like you to give him your Maaser Oni tithe, and in exchange for your listening to me, for giving it to my friend, I'm going to pay you money. So that's the fee paid to the owner for directing the tithe to a specific individual. That's called Tovas Hanoh. And the Chachomim, who say that you have to koreshem, that you have to deal with the doubt and declare the Maaser Oni, even though you're not going to physically deliver it to a poor man, he is of the opinion that the owner has Tovas Hanoh. V'keivan d'islei Tovas Hanoh lo mahanyan. Since the owner of the produce, with regard to the Maaser Oni, has this level of, we'll say, level of ownership in it, that he could receive payment for directing its delivery. So the woman who vowed not to benefit from people, she can't benefit from the Maaser Oni, because that's something that is considered owned by that person. So that the Maaser Oni becomes part of, we'll say, that which is owned by mankind. It's not hefker. It's not something that is totally unowned and having no value to the owner. Ulaman Yomar, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that said Eino Koreshem, that you don't have to even declare the Maaser Oni tithe in the produce you bought from the Amoretz. Kosovar Sveiko Eino Tov Toivel. He is of the opinion that when there is doubt, it doesn't create a situation of tevel. We should have mentioned this before on the second line from the top. The Chomsei Sveiko Tovel means that because of the situation of doubt, so the produce is something you can't eat until you declare it. And that's because prior to your declaration, it's considered Tevel. Tevel means produce that has not been tithed. According to the opinion of Rebbe Lezer, you don't have to declare the Maaser Oni tithe within your produce that you got from the Amoretz, because he holds Sveiko Eino Tovel. When there's a situation of mere doubt concerning its separation, it doesn't create the title or the name or the status of Tevel regarding your produce. V'chol she'sveiko Eino Tovel les lei Tovas Hanoh v'shori lei l'sanuyeh. And anything that in a state of doubt does not create the status of Tevel, so the owner has no holding on it. He doesn't have any basis or for claiming payment for someone requesting his directing the Maaser Oni to a specific individual. So with this in mind, then our Mishnah that does not mention her ability to benefit from Maaser Oni, she's not, in other words, the woman who forswore Hanoh from mankind, is then according to the Chachomim that say that the owner has Tovas Hanoh value in the Maaser Oni. The Braisa, which said that the woman who said Kein Sheninena Brios is entitled to the Maaser Oni, that is in accordance with Rabbi Eliezer. You notice we have a bracketed section now. Following the bracketed section, you see our second diamond, the attempt to, we'll say, resolve the Mishnah with the Braisa. Within the brackets, we have a note on the side that indicates its purpose. Matras HaSograyim, the purpose of these brackets, Litzor Retzef Bein HaTshuvos Liashiv HaBraisa Ima Mishnah, to create a sense of continuity between the answers. So we had Rav Yosef's resolution, setting it up as two different Tanoim, and Rava's resolution that follows. Within the brackets, Abaye appears to take issue with Rav Yosef's resolution. Now, that having been said, let us learn the Gemara within the brackets. Omar le Abaye. Abaye says to Rav Yosef, Dekuli Alma Sveiko Tovel. Everyone will agree. Not like you said that it's a machlokas, but everyone will agree that where there's a doubt regarding the the tithing of the Meiser Anim, where that it creates a Tevel status. And furthermore, Abaye is saying that everyone will say that the owner of the produce has a Tevas Hano value in the Meiser Ani. And the Mishnah that said she cannot benefit, that suggested by not mentioning Meiser Ani, so the Mishnah which said she is in effect saying she cannot benefit, the woman who forswore benefiting from mankind is not entitled to the Meiser Ani, is in accordance with all opinions. Meaning, when we say all opinions, we mean Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim. And the Bach in Ois Gimel, in letter Gimel, at the bottom of the page says, as far as the Mishnah and the Braisa, there remains a difficulty. The Mishnah is smooth sailing as far as Abaye is concerned. The Braisa, which says that she is entitled to enjoy the to partake of the Meiser Ani, that doesn't have an answer. As far as the Tanaic source that we saw at the bottom, which continued to the top of this Amud, which featured the Machlokes, do you have to declare the Meiser Ani in the produce you got from the Amoritz or not? And the following is what they argue. Rabbi Lezer Savar, Loi Nechshidu Amoritz al Meiser Ani. The Amoritz and the Ignoramuses, they're not suspect in not having tithed it. They definitely tithed, set aside the Meiser Ani. Why would the Amoratzim be non-suspect of it? Maybe we should just say a word why someone would be suspect. The Amoratzim, if you don't have a serious penalty in the offense of not tithing it, so there's no real motivation for them to tithe it. And why would they not want to tithe it? Because it's a loss, 10% of their produce that they have to part with to give to the Aniyim. So there's reason to suspect someone of not tithing the Meiser Ani on the grounds that it's a loss for them. It's viewed by them as a financial loss. So Rabbi Lezer, who said you don't have to bother with the declaration of the Meiser Ani, it's because they really are not suspect. Why not? And here's the explanation. Kevon de'ilu mifgar nichse v'avioni v'shoka lehu. Since after he tithes the Meiser Ani, he, the Amoritz, could technically speaking declare all of his property hefker, meaning unowned, not mine anymore. And then what happens? He becomes himself impoverished. When he himself becomes impoverished, he then takes it right back. He takes the Meiser Ani that he tithed, no loss. Less like Seda. That's what we mean. There's no loss to him. So, according to Rabbi Lezer, the Amoritz will go along with the gain, so to speak, tithe the Meiser Ani, and then reclaim it for himself. And therefore, the Amoritz will have tithed the Meiser Ani. Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan who say you do have to declare the Meiser Ani tithe in the produce, the Rabbanan hold that the Amoritz won't do that. Nichse lo mafkirinish, a person won't declare all of his holdings unowned. Demirtas, he's afraid. Dilma zachi behu inish achrina, because in the interim when he does declare it unowned, someone else might just come along and claim it as his. Claim it from Hefker. Claim it from its status of being unowned. And the original owner is then up the creek. He's in a total loss. Hilkoch nechshidu. Therefore, the Amoratzim, who aren't going to take the chance in being mafkir their nechosim, they entitling themselves to the Meiser Ani, they're, as we say, they're not going to take the chance. Therefore, they are suspect in not tithing the Meiser Ani on the grounds that it's a big loss for them. Rava Omer. Again, as we said before, Rava is coming to resolve the Mishnah, which said she's not entitled to the Meiser Ani with the Braisa that said she is. And we have a little note on the side. The starred note reads as follows. Rava benigud Rav Yosef. Rava, as opposed to Rav Yosef, Einu mamina Mishnah Braisa kemachlekes tanoim. He doesn't set up the Mishnah Braisa as two different schools of thought. Elishim midabrim al shnei matzavim shonim shel hafroshas Meiser Ani. But rather, Rava says that the two sources, the Mishnah Brais, are talking about two different circumstances with regard to the Meiser Oni tithing. The Gemara. Rava Omer, Kan the Meiser Oni Hamishalek B'soch HaBayis. And if you skip two lines, you see again we underline Kan the Meiser Oni Hamishalek B'soch HaGronos. There are two situations of a person tithing the Meiser Oni. If you're dealing with Meiser Oni that he hadn't tithed it at the granary. He brought all the grains home before having tithed it, and he tithes it within his house. That's the first situation. That's Meiser Oni Hamishalik B'soch HaBayis B'ksiva Bei Nesina. Regarding that, you see the word nesina, meaning to give. V'nasata lalevi v'lager. You are giving it. Mishum hachi osur lei lasanu. Therefore, it is osur for one who forswore benefiting from people to receive it. Kan b'maisa oni mischalik b'soch hagronos. The brisa, which entitles the woman to who have forsworn benefiting from people to receive Meiser Oni, is referring to the tithing at the granary before it's brought into the house. Kevon dechsiv bay, since the pasuk refers to that as vinachta bishorecha, and you will leave it literally at your gates. So you're leaving it. It's not that you're giving it. You're leaving it there, and by your leaving it there, it's let's say demonstrative of it not being something of toivas hana. It's not something you're giving. You're leaving it, and so they come and take it. So you're not directing to whom it's being given. Therefore, she is entitled to come and take it. That's shori le lasanuye. The Rashi on this point, we look at the Rashi together. We're looking at Rashi three lines before the wide lines. After he brought his granary into his storage area, and he had not tied the Meiser Oni at the granary, for reasons beyond his control, or simply didn't find any aniyim to give there, hilkoch kimashkach aniyim miboyeli lemisiv lehu. When he then encounters aniyim, he has to give it to them. Debahu meiser kevon dechsiv bei nesina. Regarding that situation, since the Torah uses the word nesina, is bei toivas hano nami ketruma dechsiv bei nami nesina titnu truma lekayin. Since it's similar to Truma in the sense that just like Truma, which we know there is Toivas Hanah, Meiser Oni that is distributed from your house, the word Nesina also appears. So it too is labeled as something that has Toivas Hanah. And as we explained before, that which has Toivas Hanah in it, that has value to the owner, so the person who swore not to benefit from people is not entitled to it. The Rashi goes on, the Brisa that says she's entitled to benefit from the Meiser Oni is talking about Meiser Oni that's distributed at the granary. That situation does not have the word Nesina, but rather v'hinachta b'shorecha, you leave it at your gates. Dainu, what is that a reference to? Bishas hagurin. That's at the granary. The hahu leis bei tovas hanah. That has no tovas hanah in it. Has no value to the owner. Da ihu monach le hasam. The owner simply leaves it there. V'shokil le kolman de boy. And anyone who wants to comes along and takes it. V'hochi shariyos nibor bei. And therefore, the person who forswore benefiting from people is entitled to take it. We go back to the Gemara. The Mishnah had said, Koyanim u'levim nenim li. She prohibited Koyanim and Levim from benefiting from her. Yitlu al korcho. they, the Kohen Levim, can take their tithes, the Truma tithe, the Maaser Rishon tithe, they can take it from her against her will, or anyone for that matter, any person who swore that I don't want Kohanim, any Kohen or Levi benefiting from me. They are able to take by force the tithe that's due to them from his produce. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei mivne heading. A house shape appears and highlights the word alma. Alma is a word indicating a conclusion that we reach. So from the Mishnah, from the first part of the Mishnah, in this context of the Kohanim Levim, from the first part, we reach a certain conclusion. You can see we've dashed, underlined in the Gemara, regarding Tevas Hanah. And if you say that they are able to take the Trumas and Maestris, and that's not considered then a violation of the vow, forbidding them to benefit from the owner, so it must be that the Tevas Hanah is not considered Mamon. It's true that you can direct it to, you can be asked to give it to so-and-so, but that is not associated with something of value. It's not categorized as mamon. So on the side, we have noted that this house marking, Birur im Tevas Hanah Nechshav Mamon Oiloi, and we're highlighting here, Maskonos Meha Reisha Vaseifa. What conclusions do we draw from the Mishnah regarding how to categorize this concept of Toivas Hanah, the ability to direct to whom a tithe is given? Is that something that is considered of value? Is it within the realm of Mammon, or it's not? It's my impression that the fact that someone might pay you for directing it to so-and-so, that might be the case, but it's not considered in legal terms something that's categorized as mammon, something of, let's say, a tangible value. There's another marking that will appear shortly, a crown shape, and these are tshuvos, liyashev reisha v'seifa demasnisen. These are attempts to resolve the Reisha and the Seifa, which up till this point appear to have, say, opposite or contradictory conclusions. So now we turn to the Gemara. The Mishnah had said that a person who declared that they do not want, they vowed that Kohanim and Levim shall not benefit from them, from the speaker, Kohanim Levim, Nenim Li, Yitlu al-Korcho. The Kohanim and Levim are nevertheless allowed to take the tithes due to them against the will of the owner. Alma, we see from here, Tevas Hanah Eino Mamon. Eimo Seifa. Kohanim Eilu, Levim Eilu Nenim Li. If the vower is declared specific Kohanim, I don't want them, or specific Levim, I don't want them to benefit from me. Yitlu Achirim. Avol lahani lo. Others can take that were not identified in the vow, but the original ones are not allowed to take. Alma, well, that would lead us to the conclusion that Tevas Hanah Mamon. Why is it that they cannot, the specified Levim cannot take their Maaser Rishon tithe from the owner? Because it's something that has value to the owner, and the owner said, I don't want you to benefit from me. So it must be that that taking the Maaser Rishon tithe is, in effect, taking something of value to the owner. Omar Rav Hoshaya. There's another girsa that has Rav Yosef. If you want to be Goris here, Rav Yosef, you'll notice that later we have Rava giving his approach, and that would make the sugi here parallel to the sugi before, where we have the two diamonds in which we featured, again, we featured there Rav Yosef and Rava, each one giving their resolutions. Here too you would have Rav Yosef and Rava again giving their resolutions to this part of the Mishnah. But whichever way, we have the first answer, number one, lo kashya, ha Rebbe v'ha Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. And interestingly, this would be, if you go race Rabbi Yossi, if it's the same type of approach that he took before, setting up the two sources as being a machlokes tanoim. Here, when we say the two sources, they're within our Mishnah itself, as opposed to the sugi before, which was a resolution of a Mishnah with a brisa. So Rav Oshaya, or Rav Yosef, gives his answer. There, you're simply seeing two different opinions in how to categorize Toivas Hanoah. Is it considered Mamon? And if it would be considered thusly, so a person who prohibits others from benefiting from them, those people cannot take it from them. You'll notice that we have a bracketed section. If you were to skip the brackets, you would come immediately to the second approach. Rava says that we make a distinction between Truma, and we'll see further when we get there. We have a starred note on the side. Matras of Sogram Litzo Retzef Bechuvos Lishuva Reshuva Sefer Shalom Mishnah. We have an attempt here to create a sense of continuity in the answers that are here to resolve the Reshon Sefer. Besocha Sogram, within the bracketed section, HaGemara Mevia Es HaBraisa Shebo Machloikes HaTanoim Shu HaBosit Shel Chuvas Revoshaya. We'll bring the Tanaic source that serves as the basis of Rav Oshaya's answer, wherein we will see those two opinions. Bahemshech, as you continue in the Gemara, Titche Hezbero, the Machlokes HaTanaim, V'tovi Oid Hezberim, the Machlokes HaTanaim Zu. The Gemara will reject Rav Oshaya's explanation of the Machlokes HaTanaim and give other explanations. Hezberim, Machlokes HaTanaim, Rabbi, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda will appear in triangles. With that having been said, we can now continue within the bracketed section. Desanya, Hagoinev Tivlo Shochavero V'Ochloi. A person stole his neighbor's untithed produce and consumed it. Mishalim lo demei tivlo divrei Rebbe. Rebbe is of the opinion that the thief has to pay for all of the produce. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Omer eino mishalim elo demei chulin shebo. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says that the thief is expected to compensate only for the chulin content. The chulin means the amount of produce that would be left after the tithes are removed. So as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, there's no compensation for the tithes that were in this tevel. My love, and as we mentioned, the triangles are a series of attempts to explain this machlokes tanoim. So the first is, of course, Rav Oshaya explaining the machlokes tanoim b'hol kamiflagi. Is it not so? My love, b'hol kamiflagi. Is it not so that it's in the following point that they argue? We continue at the top of daf pei hei. The Rebbe Sovar, Rebbe who said that the thief has to pay for the entire amount, he holds Toivas Hanoah Mamon. The owner, not only with regard to the chulin, which is what he would have personally consumed, but even the tithes have value to the owner in the sense that he can direct to whom the tithe would be given. That's the Toivas Hanoah issue. And Rebbe holds that ability to direct is something of value. It's considered mamon, and therefore the thief has to compensate for that as well. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Sovar, Rabbi Yossi said you pay only the demei chulin, the portion of the produce, of the stolen produce that the owner would have kept for himself. He holds Tovas Hanoah Eino Mamon, that this Tovas Hanoah concept is not something classified as mamon, of something of value. Here the Gemara rejects that. Lo, Dekule Alma Toivasano Eino Mamon. Whether it's Rebbe or Rebbe Yosef Yehuda, meaning even Rebbe, who said you have to pay for everything, the thief has to pay for everything, he nevertheless is not going to view the Toivasano as Mamon. So at this point, you have to realize then that what Rav Hoshaya was trying to do to resolve the ratio with the Sefer, that is, we'll say that's rejected now, that's discounted, and we're not dealing with then that particular problem. What we're dealing with right now is understanding the Machlokas, Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda. Ela, haha, b'matana shelo hurmu komiflegi. Matonos are the tithes, shelo hurmu, that haven't yet been separated. They're arguing, how do you look at unseparated tithes? We look at the Rashi, on the second line from the top, b'matana shelo hurmu komiflegi, the Rebbe Savar kemi shelo hurmu damyon. It's as if they haven't been separated. If they haven't been separated, it's all there. So then, it's to be you. The thief has to pay for all of the produce. And Rabbi Yossi would be of the opinion that they have been. It's as if they have been separated, and therefore you pay only for the chulin. The Gemara challenges that. If you're going to say, as we said, that everyone holds Toivas Hanah is not Mamon, Mali Hurmu, Mali Lo Hurmu, what difference does it make whether we view them as if they've been separated or not? We take a look at the Ran commentary. We're gonna look at the Ran from the third line from the top. B'matana Shelo Hurmu Komiflegi. The most recent attempted explanation of Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef Yehuda was regarding this issue of matonas, untithed tithes. The Rebbe Savar Kevon Shelo Hurmu Trumas Maisrus Havlu Kichulin Shebo Delav Kemi Shehurmu Damyon. Rebbe says that we view them as if it's part of the chulin, because they haven't been tithed, they're not viewed as tithed, and Rebbe Yosef Savar Kemi Shehurmu Damyon. The ain lo bohem klum. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, says it's as if they've already been tithed and the owner has no holding on it anymore. Umishimhochi ainu mishalim el deme chulin shaboy. The Ran goes on. The Gemara had asked, if that's how you're going to analyze the machloikas, well, once you have declared that Toivas Hanah is not Mamon, Mali Hurmu, Mali Lo Hurmu, what difference does it make whether you view it as if they've been separated or not? The Keva to Toivas Hanah ain't a Mamon, Ki Lo Hurmu, once you say that Toivas Hanah is not something of value, if the tithes then are not viewed as tithe, my Havi, what difference does it make? My Havi to Ha Psichi Beit Truma Meiser Shein Lo Bo En Klum. What difference does it make? Psichi means that there's mixed into the produce Truma and Meiser, but he has no holding on it. He has no value from it. That leads us to the next explanation of the Machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef Yehuda. So we continue in the Gemara with the next triangle. Elohainu Taimo De Rebbe. Rebbe, who said that the thief has to pay for the entire quantity of stuff, even though we're working with the idea right now that Toivas Hanah is not Mamon, why does the thief have to pay for the whole quantity? Konsur Rabbanon Leganav Ki Hechi Delo Lignoiv. The Rabbanon imposed a fine upon the thief to deter him from stealing. And Rabbi Yosi Rebbe Savar, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says, no, the owner is not entitled to receive compensation for all of the produce, but rather just for the Chdomei Chulin Sheboi. Rabbi Yosef holds, Konsur Rabbanon Labalabayis, Ki Hechi Delo Lishi L'Tivle. The Rabbanon imposed a fine in manifesting itself here in the loss of his inability to receive compensation for the entire amount. Why is the Balabayis penalized? Because he delayed the tithing. In other words, what happened here? The thief came and stole a pile of untithed produce. That means that the Balabais was not swift in tithing immediately. And as a result of that, we slap the Balabais on the wrists, so to speak, for having delayed in the tithing. The translation of is again kihefi delolishitivle, so as to deter the owner from delaying. Lishi is to delay the tivle, delaying the tevel in his possession. Rovo Omar. Now, before we go further, we look at the Tosfos commentary that you find at the lower part of the page in the middle of the wide lines in the Tosfos commentary. Rovo Omar, Masnisin is lay the Mishnah which we saw that the Kehanim and Levim if she specifies which ones are not to get it, so others are allowed to take it, but the original ones that she specified are not allowed to take. Well, Masnisin is lay Tevas Hanoah Mamon. The Mishnah in principle holds that Tevas Hanoah is something of value. V'hainu taima de masnisa de yiglu bal korcho. That if that's the case, then we have to explain the ratio in this case where if all the kelevim were sworn not to benefit from the owner, why is it that they are allowed to take it against the owner's will? Kevon de mitzar olayu, since the owner prohibited all kehanim and levim from taking their truma tithe, havi afra biyama. It's as if the tithe is mere dust. Why is it as if it's mere dust? Kevon de osar kol kehanim levim, since the owner prohibited all kehanim levim from taking the tithe. In kain osar hu litain trumosav lishum kayin. Therefore, the owner can't give the trumos to any kohen. And he can't give it, as we said that Tevas Hanoah is mamon, and he prevents all of them from receiving. V'ein lo bohem shum Tevas Hanoah sheni yochol litnom l'shum adam. He has no Tevas Hanoah in it, because he, by virtue of his oath, his vow, he can't give it to anybody. Lak from latzma lo motzi, and to keep it for himself, he can't do that either. Ulekach eino shelo. By his own vow, he's created a predicament that the trumas and maisras are not his. Umutorin litlo bal korcho davi kamishena shelo. And since he's put himself, he's like locked out all giving possibilities. It's sort of like a boomerang situation. He vowed that no one is going to get it from him. Oh, if that's what you vowed, you've made it now like it's not even yours. And therefore, yitlu bal korcho. Aval b'seifa, the mutu lehenes lemitzis kehanim. In the seifa, where he simply banned part of only specific kohanim from benefiting from him. Havi lo tovei sanobo. The owner still has tovei sano in it, in that he can give it to someone else, and he can choose to whom to give it to. And therefore, those kohanim that he forbade from benefiting from him cannot come and take it. So we'll see this now in the Gemara. It's rather terse in the Gemara, but having read the Tosfos, we'll understand what Rav is saying. So we go to the text, Rava number 2 in the crown, Rava Omar, Shiny Truma. The case of Truma is different, and specifically in the Resha of the Mishnah, where it said that one who banned all the Kehanim Levim from benefiting from him can come and take the Truma against the owner's will. The following is the reason for that, for taking against his will. Mishum de Truma lochazia elo lekehanim. The Truma tithe is fit only for Kehanim. The Keva de Ka'osi Lemisra Olayu, and since he, the owner, came and forbade it to all of the Kehanim, Shavyo Afro Balmo, he has now made it the Truma Tithe. And I think the same applies to the Meiser, because the Mishnah spoke about the Levium as well. It is like mere dust. Why? The owner himself, he can't take it for himself. He's not entitled to take Trumas that go to Kohanim and Meiserish that goes to Levium. On the other hand, he can't give it to anybody. So what is it then? It's like dirt. It's Afro Balmo. Oh, it's like mere dirt. They can come and take it against his will, and they're not in violation of the vow. The vow stated that he's not to benefit others. Benefit means giving them something of value. But once you've made it into mere dirt, so they're entitled to take it. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.